I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you might, we will have a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've given us, one of the beautiful days of the year that we enjoy so much. But we turn our attention to those who are living in less fortunate conditions. We have two wars going on with a very heavy casualty rate, one in Palestine and one in Ukraine and Russia. We pray for the innocents that are the victims of these wars. We know the soldiers go into it prepared for whatever may come, but women and children and the less fortunate are the ones who suffer in this situation. We pray for them, for their safety, and for their consolation. Father, in this hour, just bless us in this meeting. Give us some wisdom. We might do the right things and be pleasing to you and to the citizens of Brown County. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, do we have any additions or changes to the agenda?
Just when it gets to the legal, I'd like to have Mike give us an update, if he has one, on Indian Hill, on whether he's moved forward. We're asking for an extension. It's 1 year or 5 year. And it could probably be the 5 year thing. Probably I'd go with 5 years because I don't know where we're going to get the money in the next year to do it. But if we got it on a 5 year plan, we might be able to figure it out.
The old time to get, I guess.
Yeah. Another thing is, if we get any time at the end, I'd like to talk a little bit about some contracts.
Okay.
Try and figure out where we're at on some of them. But right. If we don't have time, it's fine.
As long as we get done in 2 hours. That's standard with me.
The agenda looks kind of long.
Yeah. Thank you all for coming out tonight. It's good to see a nice crowd out there instead of the 3 or 4 regulars. Okay, so I think that's the changes and additions to the agenda.
Did you have anything, Blake?
Nothing.
Not all of them. I appreciate that. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let's move on then to the minutes and the claims. Have a chance to look those.
Yeah, I'm good with them. Go ahead and make a motion to approve and the claims.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Old business. Planning and zoning regarding 2518 Land Bridge Road, rezoned property and legal notice of public hearing for amendment has been continued.
What's that last part?
Has been continued.
Oh, it has?
Yeah. By the request of the petitioners, I think they are trying to get together what they might be able to do to meet the criteria that's out there for the development that they propose.
As you asked for last time, remember when you said,
well,
you felt like things were going
good.
I mean, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I'm saying, you said that was the one thing that you normally would totally disagree with, but you said you were not disagreeable about that.
Well, let me clarify that.
Okay.
I've read the minutes, but if the petitioner's asked to have a table, the only other thing that I've come up with, after reading the minutes, I would have thought that it would have been clear that we probably should have voted on it tonight, but I'm not going to make a big deal of it. There was just far too much from what I could see that they was going to overcome. I know you said you worked on it nothing but that for 10 days, and you had another 14 days to work on it, and I know Jerry's been looking at it. I mean, if it's been continued. But the other one thing that we need to take into consideration that's come to my attention is if we don't vote on that in 45 days, it becomes automatically passed.
Yeah, that's...
Is
Mike, Moga, are you with us this evening?
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
Hi guys, this is Kayla. I'm here too.
Huh?
That's Kayla.
Okay. Well, right here, I received this from Kayla. And let me just run over this real quick. I think we still have time, even if it's a continuance. But it says, if the commission approves the amendment or fails to act within the 45-day period, the ordinance stands as passed by the legislative body as the date of the filing of the commission report of approval with the legislative body or the end of the 45-day period. I'm not 100% sure we're not already close on that. Do you have that figured out, Kayla? Do we still have time if we wait until the next commissioner meeting?
Yes, I believe so. And sorry I'm not there in person, guys.
You're fine.
I do have the Indiana code in front of me. And Mike Moga, I know I heard him a second ago, so he can definitely chime in on this too. So this is, I think the part that you read there was if the subsection applies, if the proposal receives a favorable. But what I'm reading under is letter F, subsection applies if the proposal receives either unfavorable recommendation or no recommendation from the plan commission. And then we are going to go to...
Yeah, I can just jump in. That's correct. You're reading the right part. It's 90 days, not 45 days.
90 days, correct. Yep. And the 45 days comes if the legislative body amends the proposal.
Okay. Well, I was just going with what I was passed. So we got 90 days, Mike?
That's correct.
And we got all kinds of time. So I'm good with that.
Okay.
We're not trying to do anything. Question, is that 90 days from the time that they filed for the...
I'm sorry, sir. Identify yourself. Come to the microphone.
Yeah, I'm Darren Keene. I'm 2642.
Okay.
Is that 90 days from the time that they petitioned the Planning and Zoning Office or 90 days from the time that it hit the Commissioner's Office?
Mike?
Go ahead, Kayla, if you have it in front of you. I don't have it in front of you.
This is the legislative body, so that would be considered the commissioners.
Okay, so 90 days from the first time it hit the commissioner's desk, which would have been the last meeting.
August 7th.
August 7th. Okay.
Correct, Mike?
I don't have it in front of me, but I think Kayla just read it off, so correct.
So we have 90 days from the 7th of August.
Now, am I to understand that you are required to grant them an extension to get this together, or can it just go ahead and go to vote and deny the extension for time, considering all of the past that we've already dealt with?
I wouldn't have a problem voting on it tonight, but I think we do have time, and I believe that the president said that they've asked for a continuance to see what they can do. I don't think we have a problem with the time frame now, because it's actually twice as long as what I thought it was, and I even thought at 45 days, we still had time for the next commissioner meeting even to have done it. So I think we're good on time.
They're hoping for a miracle here to cover a multitude of problems.
I would have been willing to vote on tonight, but if they want to table it or pass a continuance, I'm good with that too. Because I think we're fine.
Who's they?
The other two commissioners.
Okay. Let's get on with it, gentlemen.
Okay.
As I recall from the last meeting, I think I suggested we table it until the next commissioner's meeting, which would be tonight. But instead,
I asked for it to be tabled, and then Blake seconded, and it was unanimous, if I remember correctly.
But I think it was not necessarily tabled until this meeting. It was table.
Correct.
Indefinitely. We do have constraints we must act on, and I will not let anything become an ordinance or a law without us acting on it. That's the chicken's way out. We will make a decision when you like it or you don't. It's our job to do that. We will make a decision before the time runs out.
I'm good with that.
Okay. Very good. Okay, moving right along. New stoplight. 46 in the State Park.
We
don't
have it. With no comments on this?
No comments?
I'm sorry?
No comments from the people that are interested in providing additional perspective on 2518?
I don't know if there's anyone here.
I think there's quite a few of them.
Quite a few.
That's what we're hearing.
Everybody's worked out.
Wait a minute.
Is there room for comments on the initial item that's item number one on the agenda, which is the review of the 2518 rezoning request? Can we make public comments?
Yeah, somebody wants to speak. We have time for that.
Okay, that's all I was trying to clarify.
I'm sorry if I moved ahead too quickly.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I just, I'm just trying to.
Sure.
We'll
give 10 minutes total for a discussion on this, for comments, questions, okay? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to move on too quickly.
We just have a lot on the plate tonight.
Yeah.
Quite a few people
who have
comments here.
I'd
actually appreciate if you gave us a few more minutes than the 10 minutes, but can we?
But I would suggest, was there anything new tonight that you didn't say at the last meeting? Because I think, you know.
I think that there's several things I have to say, and I know that Mr. Carman has a couple of items that he'd like to bring up.
Just come on up to the microphone so we can hear you.
Okay, can I go up first here?
I think you're up first, so yes.
Yeah, I'm a little confused. I don't know what the purpose of delaying this is. I mean, I think there's a lot of people here to make comments, and if we're just delaying it until everybody's gone, that wouldn't make a lot of sense. What I want to say is, if we're talking about rezoning a part of Lanham Ridge, which I live on, to be commercial, then, to be honest, I'm going to come and ask to commercialize my property, too. My property, I could put a motel on it, and there's space there for an asphalt parking lot, and I think it's a better location for a motel than this other one. And I don't think somebody else down the Lanham Ridge Road should be able to commercialize their place and benefit from it economically, and I shouldn't be able to. So, and frankly, I think my property could probably be worth twice as much as it is now if I could commercialize it. So if we're going to rezone that property, I'm coming back too, and I'm going to ask for rezone my property to be commercial so that I can put a motel on it also.
Can I ask your name, sir?
Rich.
Address.
Okay, anyone else?
Hello, I'm Mike Larris. I've met you last time. I just had a couple other comments in addition to what we did talk about last time. Part of it is a note that Pat Clark, I believe, sent to the commissioners and to the APC with regard to the history of that property. And I wanted to just essentially take an attempt at debunking this myth of this beautiful lodge and its benefit to the public. The lodge was built in the 30s as a hunting lodge for about 100 acres, and it was a hunting lodge, a very informal type of place. It was never called Timberley Lodge, it was never called a lodge, it was called Timberley. And in the 40s, it continued to stay that way as a very simple hunting lodge for people. And if you go in the basic rooms there, you'll see the basic rooms are very small. There is a beautiful fireplace, so that's no doubt about it. Then in the 50s, it actually went into disarray. And the local stories, and I don't have proof of this any more than what I've read from the petitioner, is that it essentially turned into a house of ill repute and a gambling casino. And unofficial, this beautiful lodge was essentially a place for people to go and have sex and gamble. That's what it was used for. My own, the former owner, who dead, so I can't explain this, unheard, was C.J. Underwood, was a former customer of theirs. Okay, so the idea of this being some sort of glamorous lodge is false. The second thing is the ownership part, where the petitioners have said that it has failed three times because the owners could not support it because they weren't able to rent the property there. Now, we've lived there since 1995, and we've been there when Mrs. Clark owned it and sold it in 1968. And when they 1998, she originally bought it, I believe, in 1965. My understanding from Pat Clark is that when they bought the house, it was unoccupied and abandoned. It had been that way for 4 or 5 years, and was in total disrepair. And they made the repairs to bring it up to the nice thing that you're essentially seeing right now. I'm not saying that the petitioners didn't spend good money to make it, you know, more comfortable. And I know that one of the people put in a septic system, I believe it was the chaplains. The first couple that bought it, they bought it to be a residential. The fellow bought it on, and this was in probably 1999 or 2000, I can't remember. He bought it, and he wanted it to be their residence. Mrs. Clark told him he couldn't buy it on a contract. He had to buy it on a contract because she wouldn't wait until he sold his house. He didn't want to do it. He knew it was going to be stressful. And this was a story he told me directly, so I'm able to convey it fairly directly. And he bought the house on a contract. He then put his house up for a one-year rent. The people never paid the rent. He tried to file lawsuits. He couldn't do anything with it. And those people then, he had to go, and his wife died, and also in the interim from cancer. And then he did, I believe, declare bankruptcy. I'm not sure if he died himself at that time, but he was in dire straits, but not because he wanted it to be a rental and it wasn't working as a rental. The second owners that I recall were the people before the chapels, and I don't remember the name now. He's Todd's and his wife was a photographer in town here, probably knows. But he was Bill Todd's son. Anyway, they had a mixed family. They had eight kids between them. They wanted it to be a residence. They tried to make it a residence. Their family broke up after about 4 years for whatever reason. They were nice people. They were trying to keep it as a residential unit. They both bought this property, both owners there, bought it under the full understanding that it would not be qualified for a church zone because, and they had no desire for that. It was going to be a residence. Their family split up, and they sold it, I don't think at an auction. I think that they sold it at fair market price to the chapels. The chapels bought it, and he was a successful insurance man, I believe up in Carmel, or somewhere in that area. And they were building it for his retirement residence. And they lived there 3 or 4 years, I can't remember exactly, but in any event, on the day after his retirement and the day before they were leaving for a long trip across the country in a brand new old bus that they had bought, he got killed in an accident on a tractor on the property. And Mrs. Chapel stayed there for another year and then sold it at full market, whatever the regular market was for residential at that time, to the parson. And very specifically told the Parsons at that time, or whoever the company was that he was, you know, using it as a front, was that it would not qualify as a church home. And so it was with full knowledge that it was not going to be a church. I just wanted to clear up that myth of this long sacred history of the lodge is somewhat exaggerated. There are a lot of nice houses that would be beautiful for the public to see. You can go to Licklider's house. You can go to, I can just name a dozen houses that would be beautiful for the public to own as museums or whatever. That doesn't mean you can just make them commercial business. So those are my basic comments I wanted to get off my chest here, and hope you'll pay attention to some of them. The third item, though, before I go, is that we have a shortage of residential properties. And that is a key residential property in the area that would be of high value, that would not be a problem to sell with the new hospital that's located, 25-minute drive away. So yeah, lawyers, maybe this isn't going to meet our low-income housing problem, but a new motel isn't going to meet that either. Those are my three comments I wanted to make, and I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate especially the history of the bordello part of that. I had no idea there was a whorehouse in Brown County. Thank you.
I'm aware of supposedly one other one, and I'll tell you about it later. Only a
Brown County.
My name is Mike Conner, attorney will attend those asked by Dr. Green and Mr. Green to speak on their behalf.
Is that mic on?
No.
I can't hear him.
You can't hear that at all back here.
My name's Mike Carmen, attorney from Bloomington, as asked by one of the neighbors, near neighbors to this site, Dr. Mr. Green, to speak on their behalf if they have concerns. I know, if not tonight, some of the concerns you heard last meeting, and depending on what you do tonight, you'll have another opportunity. So I want to focus on just a couple things. I'm not here to give a lecture. You've got an attorney. I do want to raise a couple issues because words get thrown around in the head meetings, and just want to make sure we're to talk about the same thing when we're dealing with this. So you'll hear spot zoning thrown around. I'm sure it's happened already with regard to this petition. I would acknowledge spot zoning by itself is not illegal. It is not. The illegal spot zoning is a special type of spot zoning, and basically it says when you're sending out a parcel or something for the financial benefit of the petitioner on that, that's illegal spot zoning. It's not zoning for the public good, public welfare, which is what your police powers, all your ordinances are supposed to be based on, your exercising the police powers to act in the public good. And illegal spot zoning is when you're acting really for the financial benefit of a particular property as opposed to the general public.
You're talking about the good old boy network that supposedly exists, but I've never seen it yet.
we all know if we see it.
80 years. So.
Okay. So, and then one other point, then I'll come back to Kayla's recommendation. That's what I will lead up to that. So another concept to keep, and I know Meyer Lundell, I actually don't know your attorney. I heard his name mentioned, so I assume he'll weigh on this as he thinks is appropriate, if not now, or at some later time. But other than spot zoning, there's another issue called special legislation. That happens in the state. You may have seen some of this. I don't know if there's acts of legislature and statutes that say this applies in a community that has a city of at least 100,000, but not more than 150,000. They do that so that they can target a particular community without naming them, so they can avoid the issue of special legislation. What you have tonight, you've got a GB zone. You know your zones. You know if it's a GB rezoning, that allows taverns and nightclubs, auto repair shops. It would allow a Dollar General store. Maybe the neighbors want a Dollar General store. I don't get the sense that they do, but maybe somebody does. But
and don't forget Bordello's.
Well, it sounds like you don't have to rezone it to get that. And you realize that, and Kayla, I think, understood that too, because you see her recommendation that if you're going to rezone the GB, restrict it to motel only. I appreciate and applaud her diligence and her thinking and trying to be creative. The problem is that makes it special legislation, because what you'd be creating, if you did that, you'd be creating a new zoning classification, general business allowing only motel, and that only applies to this property and this petitioner. That makes a special legislation, and that's a violation of the Indiana Constitution. So those are the legal issues, but you know the bigger issues, and that is, once you zone a GB, I don't care if it is only motel, everybody coming in the community that looks at the zoning map sees GB. They don't see motel, they see GB, and that has the impact on the neighboring properties that they do not want to see happen. Yes, sir, sorry.
Let me see if I can get you to clear something up for me. If I understood you right, if the owner or someone was going to profit from this rezoning, say like the commissioners were to approve it, okay, and within the next 30 days it goes on the market for sale and it's sold at a profit, is that kind of where you're...
No.
Okay.
I'll just read this, just a couple sentences straight from the Court of Appeals decision about the illegal spot zoning.
Okay.
It identifies what it is, and then the language is the singling out of one piece of property for a different treatment from that accepted in the surrounding area, which is indistinguishable, all for the economic benefit of the owner of the lot. And that's what you're being asked to do. Rezone it to GB, all for the economic benefit of Parsons Designs. It doesn't matter. And then if you do rezone it, that's going to apply to the land. It stays with the land. If they sell it, the zoning, whatever you choose, whatever you decide, stays with the land. That's a land decision, not a particular owner decision. But the effect of the rezoning is for the economic benefit of Parsons Designs. That's what they're asking for. And that's all that they're asking for. And I would suggest that it's illegal spot zoning. I'd also suggest that if you narrow the uses down, as Kayla has recommended, to make it fit on this issue. Given the motel they want, that helps emphasize this really is for the economic benefit. That's why she's recommending, well, at least allow the motel. But that is also illegal because that makes it special legislation. You'd be creating a new zoning class that has only one application on one property. And if you're going to rezone, you need to have a community broader perspective than looking at this one property only. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir. One more, then we're going to move on. We have a lot on the agenda.
Thank you for this opportunity, and pardon my voice. I'm not used to this grass up here yet, so I'm Ronald Green. I'm Ronald Green. I retired probably about 4 months ago and moved here to Green County. Now, I moved up here with my daughter-in-law and my son.
Brown County, I'm sorry.
What did I say, Green County? Okay, I'm still living back in South Carolina. I'm sorry. I came up here from South Carolina is what I'm trying to say. I came up here because there was a lifestyle up here that I really wanted and really enjoyed. And that lifestyle meant peace and quiet. And that farm I live on with my son and my daughter-in-law is peace and quiet. Anything that changes that is going to not only mess up the environment that we have there, but it could mess up everything else, including my retirement. And I don't want that to happen. I work too daggum hard for that to happen. Okay? I think that with the noise that would come from something like this, and I live directly across, I live at 2479, which is directly across the street from it. I can see that from my front door. Any kind of noise abatement that would come from that, there's special occasions or whatever, I've experienced since I've been here, and I haven't been here for 4 months. All right? And they say this has been going on for a while, illegally. So, I mean, I came from South Carolina. I came from a metropolitan area in South Carolina to a rural area in Brown County. So, I mean, this is something, if you're looking for people to come into this community, this is not the way to do it. This is not the way to do it. And I plead with you guys. Don't change it now. You've got something special here. This is what I picked out. This is my life now. Don't change it.
Thank you. Okay, I think we have one more. Anyone would like to speak? One.
Thank you, gentlemen. My name is Michael Fulton. I'm a resident on Lanham Ridge. And about 5 years ago, this very similar issue was brought before the Planning Commission. Justin Swank wanted to rezone a property on Lanham Ridge. Kenny, what's your address?
3653.
So it's right across from Kenny Baldwin's property. His proposal was to build a home, and attached to that home were 6 units that would be rented for overnight stays. And again, they were wanting to change the zoning for that property from residential to general business. It was denied by the Planning Commission, probably for many of the same reasons that the attorney just spoke about. So, I mean, I believe that once you set a precedent with this property, you will see many others wanting to do the same thing. So I would encourage you to not set that precedent. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Even one of you like to say anything?
No, but is it going to be on the next meeting agenda? Is there going to be a vote, or you guys think? Or? They well, might be ready.
We never know, but I mean, to move it there and do that. But I would like to say this. I said, you know what? I lived on Lanham Ridge. I lived right up from Mike and Jane and Laura. And I loved that. And then we bought some property on Bear Wall. We did that. That was great. Bell Lake. Pretty nice place. But guess what happens every Sunday? Bean Blossom's got a dragway up there. So if you want to say, I want to have pristine conditions and I don't want to have a bird chirping that I don't want to chirp, then that's a whole different situation. You know what I'm saying? Look,
we are in the woods. We love the woods. There's going to be some stuff going on. You're not going to have every single thing your way. Sunday, come to our place.
Come on, we have our true zoning. We want that. That's all we're asking for, is our true zoning.
And so then, in conclusion... All right, never mind. Come over to my house.
I think you're 2 minutes.
I don't need that beat up on you tonight.
There's one more. You know the drag strip.
Oh,
you're a racer anyway, aren't you?
Well, as you drug me into it, here's my take on it. The gentleman was absolutely right when he said, we live here for the peace and quiet. As the weekend comes along, we have a tendency to give that up, just like the drag strip makes noise. Okay, we have a tendency to give that up. And in the fall, when the town's busy, a lot of the residents stay out of town because they don't want to deal with all the tourists. There used to be, on the weekends, shooting constantly. But since COVID, it kind of has stopped down. They're saving their bullets. So, you know, we pay the same price when we go to the gas station, the store, as the tourists, all week long. I'd like the ideal of the peace and quiet the best we can keep it. You know? That's my 2 cents for the night.
Okay. I wasn't going to say anything. I think there's one more person that would like to speak. Lady in the back, better have her.
I want to comment on Blaine's statement. My comment basically is on Blaine's statement.
How?
That driveway strip was there when you bought that property, right?
Yeah. It was there when I was born.
I'm sorry?
It was there when I was almost born. I mean, I've been going to the drag strip. I knew it was there, and that's great. But the fallacy of being able to say that everything in Grand Canyon is going to be perfect every day is kind of an anomaly.
I don't think that's what we're asking. We're just asking, in our lives, we lived on the ridge for 50 years. You know.
Was you glad when Blake moved out?
I'm sorry.
We're still celebrating that.
I said, was you glad when Blake moved out? Then we're gone. Okay. But, I mean, thank you. I appreciate that.
And we can hear the drag strip on weekends, too, where we're at. On Land Road.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a real bad racer. I had a real bad accident up there one day.
Did you use the race car?
Well, I did.
So anyhow, just saying.
Okay.
Hey, Blake, you guys, can I say one thing real quick?
Hey, this 2 hour thing is gonna go pretty quick.
You haven't got your 45 till you have.
No, I'm at Larry Gardner. I live on Lanham Ridge, and Blake was my neighbor there for a while.
I bet you was glad when he was gone.
It's nice for people to talk about the peace and the quiet, you know. I mean, I break the peace and the quiet when I'm out back shooting my cowboy guns. But I don't think this issue is about peace and quiet. This issue is about rezoning for businesses. And so if we rezone for one, it's just like Rich back here said, somebody else is going to come in and want to rezone. Somebody might want to put in another drag strip up on top of Atlanta Ridge. I mean, who knows what it might be. So I think we should look at it this way. There's a bunch of people here that live on Lanham Ridge Road. If the people on Lanham Ridge Road don't want this, then why would we leave it up to three guys who don't live there anymore?
Amen, brother.
Robin McMasters, and I live on Lanham Ridge Road also. I believe everything that they're saying, but I have another thing that kind of concerns me. A motel may only be on weekend because it's a holiday, but sometimes that means it could be all week long too. I've got 7 kids that live in my house that catch the bus. They get on, they get off. Lanham Ridge is a busy road already, as it is, And I'm telling you, people speed up and down that road all the time. On top of that, the roads aren't wide enough for great big vehicles. I drive the school bus on Land and Ridge Road. And it concerns me of worrying about people that don't know our area, don't want to take and do our speed limits. Our kids are not, mine aren't out in the street, but they run all around the property, and here's these strangers I know nothing about that's going to be in my neighborhood. You know, I don't know if, and it scares me to death about sex offenders, about people who abduct and do things. And so that's my concern as well. That's on top of what's already there. You're adding a whole bunch of different people coming into our community that we won't even get to know who they are and what they'll do. Thank you.
Okay. Well, so with the, and the sheriff's, hey, the sheriff's in the back of the room, but I mean, if there's a lot of people speeding up and down there, can you take care of that?
Get all those locals ready for work.
2 minutes.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We just got this information this afternoon, and I started calling my neighbors, you better come tonight. There is area that you can rezone to business, and there is area that solely focuses on residential. And you do not interfere and do not mingle between the two, and we're going to be in trouble. So I really want to ask you to just have a comprehensive perspective. That is the residential area, not a business. And these people, you know, throw their money away, whatever, they move everything and to live in that environment. And our officials are supposed to respect that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we've
got a discussion. Just to top that off, it says it is residential, but there's commercial property right across the street, and there's a property on the south side, so that's commercial property.
Those are owner-occupied commercial, they are workshops. Basically,
if you're going to walk, hey, you're going to have to get up to the mic.
I'm sorry, I will.
You can't just sit there in the audience with you.
Look, I live next to the Clarks also, and I also live next to the, and my property is also next to Darren Peters. Those are owner-occupied, allowed businesses. They have no showcase, they don't sell things there. They're working shops. The only commercial business that I know of within a mile of our house is the grocery store in Helmsburg. That is a licensed commercial business. The rest of these are owner-occupied residential properties where the owner does do some commercial work on their property. That's a far different than a general business type of rezoning. We encourage people to make a living out of their homes if they can do it. That's great. That's wonderful. But taking a residential property and converting it to general business and leaving us open to whatever that turns and morphs into over the next 25 years is not a good thing to do just because you don't happen to live there anymore and we have a nice neighborhood that we want to keep that way. That's our perspective. Maybe that's selfish on our part, but we would say the same thing with the general rules in the county. I would go through all the lists that I'm looking here at the current zoning requirement, the master plan from 2011. I know we have a future one coming up, but this one is what governs what you're supposed to be using to make your decision. I could go through a dozen things right here that this place would not comply with, and there's nothing that group can tell you that when they do respond to your questions of how they're going to comply to it, or that you could enforce before they had to comply to it if you change it to general business. You know that, and I know that. So this is a kind of a fake argument right now. You ought to be doing it on the principle, and the principle is what lies in these zoning rules not. Why would we want to destroy that? That's my 2 cents, 4 cents, 5 cents, 10 cents a dollar.
Okay, we're not making a decision on this tonight, but I do appreciate all the input. Let me back up just a moment. I have a few comments about the situation. As soon as I heard initially about a proposal to have a motel...
Is your mic on?
Yeah, it's on.
Yes, it is.
Very loud. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
As soon as I heard someone wanting to open a motel on Landbridge Road, I immediately thought, that sounds pretty crazy to me. Then I got the recommendation from the Plan Commission, and they went against it unanimously. I thought, well, what's all this scuttlebutt about this? So I personally went out there and toured the property, because I wanted to see what this was all about. And it is kind of a unique property. But let me remind you that as long as I've been commissioner, we have never created a general business zoning except if it were in conjunction with general business that were already there and along state highways. And I think every inch of frontage on state highways is fair game for commercial business of any type that is within the law. I just wanted to give these folks a chance before we just slammed the door shut to see if there's anything that could be done with this property that might benefit Brown County. If you go out and tour it, you see it's a very unique property, and it would be almost impossible to duplicate today because it would cost millions of dollars. I mean, it's just a fantastic property. But it doesn't really work for a motel. The rooms are not much bigger than a bathroom, even though there's eight of them. It's not configured really for a residence either. It just doesn't fit a lot of different categories. That's why I think it's been unsuccessful at both the residence and other uses, including the house bill repute. But I didn't want to make a decision on this, a snap decision, just because the Plan Commission had unanimously turned it down. And I was more concerned when I realized and found out that no one from the Plan Commission actually went out and looked at this property before they made a decision. I think that that's part of the duty of making decisions. If there's a question about a property, the people who are making those decisions ought to go out and get all the facts. And I appreciate all of you. I value your privacy and quiet of Brown County. That's what makes Brown County Brown County. And it would have to be a very unusual situation where I would think about doing anything different that might harm or inconvenience your privacy and we will make a decision on this.
You're going to play that, come up the microphone.
We'll make a decision on this probably at our next meeting. I've looked at...
Hey, Jerry, this is Kayla. Can I interject something really quick?
Yeah, you can.
Really quick. So, I am not on the Plan Commission, of course. You guys know this. But I did not make an appointment to go out there to look at the property, and I am almost certain that at least one of the members also did not make an appointment, but did go and look at the property. So I just wanted to make that clear. I did go out and take pictures, so they saw, you know, the Plan Commission did see all of that.
Okay. That's fair. I'll admit hearsay that no one went out from the Plan Commission. Apparently one did out of the seven, so. But,
Well, we just did not make it. I did not personally make an appointment to go out and look at it. I just did my drive-bys like I usually do, and I walked the property and things like that.
Okay. And generally, the commissioners have probably 95 or 99% of the time followed the recommendations of the Plan Commission. There have been a few instances where the commissioners have overridden even a unanimous decision by the Plan Commission. The only one I really recall in my time was a property that fronted on State Road 46, fully in compliance to be zoned general business, and the Plan Commission turned it down. I don't know why they turned it down, but the three commissioners at the time overrode them, and zoned it for commercial business. And it is operated as a commercial business today, and it's a great benefit to Brown County. But it is on a state highway, and it was in an area where there are other businesses. So we'll make the right decision on this, and I appreciate you all, and I do absolutely concern myself with your privacy and your privacy. So hang on, okay? Okay, moving along then to the stoplight.
I'm on the stoplight. Tell us what you have.
We're smart men, know a lot of things to tell.
Boy, you're better than honey and you're on bread, man. Let's let the room clear just a little bit. I just went out there when everybody, all the contractors, utilities, state was out there. What they're doing out there now is only a temporary stoplight. I believe, if I got the numbers right, those telephone poles went 12 feet into the ground. Out there, for some reason, they have massive underground utilities. And moving them is no easy task. This project's been moved up. It wasn't even supposed to come up until 28. It's somewhat of a dangerous intersection. And I believe Jerry said somebody higher up than us. Wouldn't take much. But anyway, they moved that project forward, and there was 21 people out there that day, and they've located the utilities, but you just don't move all that stuff. So now they're going to be discussing on who gets to pay for all that. So it's going to take a little bit to work their way through that. They tell me the poles are up, the cables are strung, but I think they're still waiting on the electric company to get them some power out there, if I'm not mistaken. I come into the zoning office and ask Kayla, I talked to the guy from the state, and he said that, you know, he needed a little bit of help there, and I talked to Kayla, and I think there's not going to be no problem in us agreeing to have them power, but when the power company schedules that and comes out, that might be two different things. But they're moving forward with it. I think everybody's going to be happy with it when it's done. Hope it's not like the one downtown. We have quite a few complaints about that one, but that's in town. That's not county. But ain't that out there is actually in town. What do you call it?
The town. Yeah, the town's gone way past that.
Okay, so it is in town. But anyway, they asked us to go out there, and I was the one that it fell on, and I went out there. And I guess at this moment, that's about all I know.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking the time to go out there and see what's going on. You know, talk about power, I'm almost surprised they don't use power at the solar. They had a stoplight out here all summer at my neighborhood that goes green and yellow and red and controls traffic in both directions in three different private driveways. It all runs on solar.
Have they took all that down yet?
It's all done. All gone out. I guess they're done. Everything's gone. It's open to traffic. And
Finally.
And it's just as rough as it was before they worked on it. I cannot figure out, and I'm not an engineer, but I can never figure out why we have to always have a big bump when we go on a bridge and when we come off. But I'm sure there's a reason.
Water drainage.
Maybe. Okay, moving right along. Bricks on the courthouse.
Are you late?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It's done. And I had a protracted conversation with the judge yesterday. She was tickled the way that it came out. Not only the bricks are done, but they also took care of those the height parts of the concrete. And all that's done, it's finished. And I'm in the process now of making a if you want to have a brick, then we've got a brick paper, but you have to have 18 characters on three different lines, and yep. But here's the thing. What we're going to do is I'm going to make it available to the public because we got 375 about bricks that we can put there. We've got a lot of people that are very, very interested in having engraved names and stuff. So we're working on that right now. But all the work's been done. Now, what I will ask this commission right now is, as far as, since we're doing this and they're very tickled with the way that we're sprucing up the courthouse lawn, that the bell, if we could possibly get that moving forward. Because here's the thing, and I think I said this last meeting. 3 years ago, everybody got tickled. We're all going to do this. We're all going to put in concrete, wood, labor, that's 3 years ago. None of it's done. If you guys are interested, what I'll try to do is get people interested and we'll actually pay them and we can get it done. That's all I'm saying, because the bell's out there. Sheriff's got it out there in the shed. He's trying to clean his shed out. And if you guys are interested, I'll pursue that. If you're not interested, I won't pursue it.
As long as it don't cost a lot of money. I mean,
well,
money usually makes things happen.
I mean, I'm not sure what the bill is, but I mean, if you want me to pursue it, I will.
We'll get a bid on it.
Okay.
As long as it ain't crazy, we'll move forward, I think. I think we still have some money in, like, building.
Yeah.
I do, but I don't know that I want to talk about it since it's not on the agenda. We got a lot on here. We can talk more about another project, so.
But
talk about your project.
But, I mean, I'm just asking you. If you want it,
I'm
pursued, I will.
Sometimes if it takes money to make things happen.
Well,
3 years and they...
Let me make a comment on that. I was right at the very foundation of this project and the structure, and we had volunteers lined up to do everything. And I tried for 3 years to get our former highway superintendent to bring his excavator up there and do the excavating work, and I never could get it done.
I'm offered to do it with a shovel.
Well, you know, it could be done. But originally, I thought we were pouring a slab, maybe 6-8 inches of stick. But I've been told we need to go down below the frost line for the foundation.
3 feet? Slab. 24 inches or what?
28 inches, I think.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if that's necessary.
He says he'll do it.
We'll all come up and do it. Just call us.
Well, first thing you have to do is call.
I know.
Holy moly.
I know. Okay.
Don't dig to me.
If you would, please, call him. ASAP.
I need to meet you out there. We need to mark it.
Yeah,
right. We need to. I can visually need to see it.
Just to the north and west of the concrete, they get it for that bridge on the Van Buren Street side.
Just like I said, if you guys got time, meet me out there and we'll mark it.
Okay.
Well, the concrete and the bricks, that all looks good. So finish it off.
I have committed to finishing this before I leave office on December 31st. Come. I water her other things, so let's get her done. Okay, moving along still. We're now, I think, for the Jackson Township Fire Department, Tony Elmore is here with us.
Hey.
Hello.
Tommy, I didn't see you. You were hiding back there, weren't you?
I was hiding back.
Nope.
It was covert.
No doubt.
Hi, I'm Tony. I have a copy of the letter that I did send you.
Thank you.
So as most of you know, that every year on or around September 11th, the Jackson Township Fire Department has a run. It's a 9/11 fun run. So that the path of that run starts at our station, and it goes through Helmsburg, Crossroads, State Road 45, and it travels up Mid Creek Road to Cottonwood. And that's where the runners turn around and come back to the station. So in years past, we've not requested the road to be open, but as our event grows, which it did last year to 45 participants, which we're really excited about, and we had two guys from Ireland come and run, so that was kind of neat. We are requesting that the highway department make accommodations. It would only be a 2 to 3 hours to close that road from the creek up to Cottonwood Road. So that's what we're asking. And, you know, it's just for the safety of our runners.
I'm not supposed to run because of my knee.
Can I comment? It's not the highway that can close the road.
Right.
I think our office has spoken with the sheriff's department.
Right.
I don't know if we've got anywhere with that.
Yes.
I told Sandra, I said, this is not something that we just close roads for events like this. It's got to be something that the commissioners would pass to allow something there for us to, we don't just close, I mean, we get asked for rides all the time and everything like that. We don't close roads for that. We try to, and we've helped with this event.
Yeah, they accommodate the runners getting across State Road 45 and we really appreciate that help. But it's that length of stretch there. And last year, there were quite a bit of cars that were going by, and some of the runners did make comments that they felt unsafe with that, so. And we have kids running in the race. We have animals running with us, you know, people with their pets. And we hope to add a wheelchair race as this progresses, so that's why we're asking this.
Let me ask legal. Mike Moga, who has the authority to close a road temporarily in Brown County roads?
The commissioners can in certain circumstances, and I believe this would be one of them. When do we need to have an official resolution for something like that? I missed the date earlier.
The run is on September 14th. That's a Saturday.
Okay. We can look to do that at the next commissioner meeting then, if the commissioners so choose.
Can I chime in here?
Sure.
I think it's a great thing that you're doing as far as, you know, the 9/11. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Lick Creek is the best place for you to be doing that. Shutting these people into their houses for 3 or 4 hours and telling them they can't come out. So you're back down here to doing a possible sawhorse thing, mm-hmm. with people there. Have you ever thought about maybe trying to do Salt Creek Trail?
We want the run to be in Jackson Township.
Huh?
We want the run to stay in Jackson Township. That's why we do it.
The road thing's a bit of an issue.
Yeah, so the reason that we do it, because it's exactly, we start the race at 9.11.
Yeah.
And we've timed it out so that when they turn around and they come back to that spot at the station, it's 9.11K.
Huh.
So, I mean, it's all significant to the fact that it's Jackson Township. It's the fire department and keeping it within the bounds of our township. You know, that's why we do it. And we did look at other roads, but that just seemed the easiest because then we didn't have to transport all the facilities and the tents, and we have a timer that comes and electronic timing and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the track's a quarter of a mile, okay, the high school track. I was just wondering if there's some way, I mean, this event's coming, it's coming quick.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't want a full road closure. I don't want to tie the people up in their house. If you've got enough people to do what you did last year and manage it, but I actually think you could be putting the people in danger somewhat with cars and everything. I'd rather have things where you weren't dealing with automobiles, and now if you're going to have wheelchairs and everything.
Well, that's just a possibility. I mean, yeah. we haven't done that yet, so.
If we're going to look at it and vote next meeting, then...
Yeah, let me quickly ask a question. Is there a precedent for closing the roads in this type of activity?
I mean, you closed off the roads in town for festivals and whatnot. You closed the parade route 135 as a state road.
Don't start making sense.
Okay. But, I mean, it's just for 2-3 hours maximum. And, again, if you can't close it, then the sawhorses, just to say event in progress, drive slowly. You know, we're just asking for some consideration.
Is there any way you could move that, like, to somewhere in Upper Wisconsin or something today?
Well, if you guys want to pay for it.
What about Bear Walk?
Right. Well, just to help my seniority as an elder citizen of the county. I remember when we used to have the pre-fair, and they closed the streets in Nashville and drove stakes in the pavement and put up tents on Main Street for a week. Well, Mike, Moga, look into this a little further, and we'll make a decision on this at our next meeting.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. I do appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks. I think we're ready for, we're going to talk about this convention and visitors commission. I think I got that right. Board letters of interest. We had a resignation of one of our commission appointees very recently, and it is our duty to appoint his replacement. These are terms that I think are staggered. They're 4-year terms.
One year, please.
Yours is only 1 year.
Just 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year terms.
The council is longer, isn't it?
Two years.
Commissioners are one and the council is three.
Two.
So, I haven't really had time to investigate all four of the applicants, so I'd rather not make a decision on an appointment tonight. But I would remind you that there are certain qualifications for this. The person who resigned was on the commission by virtue of being a lodging owner in town. So this person would have to be someone who apparently owns and or maybe operates a lodging business. The other category is, what is it, business owner?
Business.
Yeah. So it's to, the intent is to draw people from the ones that have their own front lines. And, of course, I like the fact that ours are 1 year appointments, and because we have pretty close control over how that operates, and someone's not going to be gobbled out of chance to replace them. You know, we've done a good job to keep this point. So if anybody else is interested, I think we have four applicants right now. Anyone else that might be interested will give you until...
You guys haven't set a date, so that's, yeah, that's been up in the air.
When do you want to close the window for applications?
I don't know. We have this, a really good one, but we have to figure out that it's going to fall in the category of what he's a business owner. But if you're saying that he has to be in the motel business or that, I don't think he is.
I think at one out of two, I think I checked with my Mugga earlier and says one of our two has to be a lodging owner, and the, you know, so I mean, I'm going to speak for him, but those just work.
Yes, to clarify, Blake, you're right. One of the two has to be engaged in the hotel or motel business within the county, not necessarily an owner.
Engaged. Okay, we probably ought to look into it a little further. Okay.
Yeah, I'm still not certain of the applicants who have applied exactly what the status is, right, for being a business owner or a lodging owner. So I know some of them. I want to answer some of the questions, but I don't know.
One that resigned was.
Yes.
But I don't know if the other one is.
He is not.
Is he a business owner?
From what I understand, he's is not. He was, and he's not now. So, but I
sound like we need to work the.
Okay.
I'm trying to find out today.
So, not to keep kicking the can down the road, but we need to make a good decision here, and we need to base it on the facts.
Got an awful lot of notebooks here tonight.
That's unusual, too, isn't it?
And then we voted on the minutes, and the,
you know, we got that done.
Thank God. Okay, moving along.
The old
safety guard.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. May I interrupt? I'm on Zoom.
Yes.
I was waiting for clarification to make sure I could speak from Zoom. This is Erica Bryanton. It took me that entire conversation to clarify what road she was requesting to shut down. As a resident on Lick Creek, I want to voice my opinion that I am not okay with the road closure.
Excuse me, Erica, and this relates to what on our agenda?
Closing
back
of
the road closure?
Yeah.
For the race?
The one just before this? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
The Jackson Township. About closing the road,
you're
going to be lit, correct?
You're going back to the Jackson Township question.
Correct.
Okay.
We cannot have a road closure. We work from home. We come and go all day. We have to be able to work and go to our properties and take care of them and take our equipment to and from our personal home where it is stored. I'm also just looking at, my husband just had knee replacement surgery, has to go for physical therapy. We can't just sit around and wait to be allowed to return back to our home. As a citizen, I don't feel that is appropriate to shut down the road for that.
Okay.
I mean, we have to be able to function our businesses and our personal appointments.
Okay, in the future, try to bring your comments forward when we're on that topic. We've moved on.
I, I apologize. It took me that long. I couldn't get anybody to respond to me in the chat group to verify that I was allowed to speak via Zoom. I have not attended a Zoom meeting in quite some time. But I do want to voice that opinion while it is on the agenda tonight, that as a resident of Helmsburg and Lake Creek, I'm not okay with a road closure for multiple hours.
Okay. Thank you, Erica.
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, didn't try to exclude anybody. Just trying to keep order in the meeting.
Okay.
So then, back to the repeal of the septic ordinance. There was an ordinance created 3 years ago, in Brown County, that the current...
John's here, he might be able to answer
that. The commissioners at the time voted to approve. And that has since been eliminated as an option by the state of Indiana. They passed legislation, I think it was last session or one before, that precludes the county from making any further tightening of the state regulations for on-site septic systems. So we have an ordinance on the book that cannot be enforced because it would be illegal to enforce that ordinance. And so the best thing to do is to repeal that ordinance. And the process for doing that is just like passing a new ordinance. Just doing it in reverse. And so I've requested that legal prepare the documents, and they have been prepared to repeal that ordinance. And you need think I have a copy of here somewhere. It's very short.
I'm looking for.
Very short, one page.
I thought I had it, but I'm looking for it.
Okay. I have it here too in this pile. So here we go.
Give it to Blake. Let him read it. He's the PhD in literature.
Okay.
Ordinance number nothing. An ordinance to repeal the septic ordinance for Brown County, Indiana. What can y'all hear? Or do you even want to hear?
You got to read it.
Whereas May 5th, 2021, Brown County Board of Commissioners, the county, previously adopted septic ordinance 05-05-2021-002 for Brown County, Indiana to replace ordinance number 97-875 regarding the construction, maintenance, inspection, and operation of on-site sewage systems. And whereas, this is where it gets legal, the county desires to repeal ordinance 05-05-2021-002 in order to revert to the rules of the State Department concerning on-site sewage systems. And whereas an ordinance concerning residential on-site sewage systems that is more stringent than state rule is subject to being void and unenforceable due to Indiana Code 16-19-3-27.8, and whereas the county finds the rule and policies of the state and the State Department regarding on-site sewage systems will ensure the health and safety of its residents, and whereas the county has determined that repealing ordinance 05-05-21-002 is a priority of the county. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Board of Commissioners of Brown County, Indiana, the ordinance 05-05-2021-002 is repealed. Passed and adopted by the Board of Commissioners, if they do that.
And the auditor has an ordinance number for the one that we were repealing.
No, this is the one you're...
This is the new number.
The one you have to get.
Okay, this, okay, so we can write that on there.
Nobody gets up anymore? Can't walk? What is everybody, crippled?
Yes.
What the hell is this all about? Ringing to us.
Thank you.
Ordinance number
21.
01.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, so that's it. Mr. President, that's it.
Thank you.
So the next one, you probably won't have to read that.
We haven't done it on the second reading.
Hold it, hold it. Whereas, I will not have to read it.
There you go. I knew you had that PhD. It comes in handy sometimes.
Okay, folks, this is just the first reading, and we're open for comments. If you'd like to comment about this, yea or nay. Mr. Kendrick, come to the microphone. I think I've already identified you. This is John Kendrick.
You need some help, John?
Yeah.
Why don't we take the microphone?
Look, he can get up, and you guys can walk over here, and he can get up.
Here's the dancing and stuff.
Well, you're off your walker and on a cane.
Yeah.
Did you see his office? Is that good? Walker, yeah. Off his rocker? Walker. Okay.
You good?
Yes, sir. I've got two comments. One is, I'm disappointed that this was not presented to the health department prior to this meeting tonight, as our health board has no information concerning this. In addition, one of the things that you need to be aware of is, the way the state has done this is that, you're correct, they canceled our existing ordinance. Our job then is to represent it to the commissioners, get their acceptance, and then take it to the state. That is the procedure that was identified by the state. So what I would ask you to do is, now that you're going to void the existing ordinance, to reinstate it with a different ordinance number and allow us to take it to the state and present it. Now, that doesn't mean the state's going to approve it, but that is the procedure necessary for us to continue.
Mike Moga, would you give us your take on what needs to be done?
That is correct. If we choose to replace this with a different county ordinance, we will have to follow the process that was mentioned.
You've known for at least 2 years that this ordinance is void and null.
No.
Yes, you do. You have known that.
1 year.
You were informed, 1 year. You were informed that the state had...
Yes.
Repealed it for you.
And at the same time.
You know it now. Okay.
I know it now when I got the paper.
This was brought up at our last commissioner's
meeting. No, it wasn't, because I was here.
It was brought up at our last commissioner's meeting. If you want us to get the minutes out, we can read them.
Well, I would love to read them.
Okay.
All I'm saying
is. We have
last
minutes. Should be in the
policy. I have them right here. I don't know how long it says we would take to get to that part, but if you want me to look, I can try and find it.
Now you're doing something.
We'll take a break. We'll get back to you.
Come on.
We're trying not to do anything hastily here, so I didn't take any action on our last meeting, simply to bring up and warn
you. You did mention
that would be on the agenda for tonight.
Okay, here it is. Since our PhD in literature just gone, you guys are stuck with me. Septic ordinance. Jerry stated that 3 years ago the commissioners passed a septic system ordinance. The state has superseded this ordinance. Jerry would like to repeal the county's ordinance so that there will not be any confusion on the rules. Would like to add this to the next agenda. It takes two readings to repeal an ordinance. If there's something legal we need to do, I mean, we're going to do whatever's legal.
You have the legal right, according to the state legislature, to discontinue the existing ordinance 875.
What we're doing.
Correct. On the other hand, you are obligated, not obligated, you are asked to reinstate an ordinance so we can take it to the state for their approval.
To reinstate?
We can't reinstate the old ordinance?
You can.
You can?
There's no reason that you can't, but that does not mean, even though you approve it, that it's going to be accepted by the state.
Okay.
But we can't.
The state supersedes the county on this issue.
Exactly. Yeah. But they have also given us the opportunity to reissue an ordinance and have it approved by the state.
Well, I think what we're, and I'm just thinking here, I think where Jerry's going is he would revert back to the ordinance before
the one that you're talking about that we're getting ready to repeal, and send that to the state and see if the state approves that. Is that kind of where you're going?
I just talked with legal, and I said, we got an ordinance on the book that is unenforceable, and we need to do something about it. He said,
that is correct.
Repeal.
Okay.
Repeal 875, but we would have to reissue it with a new ordinance number.
That's fine.
And then, but you guys would have to approve that before we can take it to the state.
So we need to come up with the ordinance we want to send to the state, whether it's the
you
one
wrote
that...
The, you wrote the last ordinance, so you write one that's legal. This one's not legal. Okay. You wrote it to us, and we'll consider approving it.
All I'm telling you is, it's not legal until the state proves it.
That's fine. Okay. It has nothing to do with us repealing this ordinance. If you want something different, then you come up with it, you bring it to us, and we'll consider it as will the state of Indiana.
That is correct.
That's correct. Okay. So bring us something. This one's no good.
I would like to see the ordinance that the one we're talking about repealing, what the ordinance looked like before we got this one.
Well, the one 875 is the only ordinance that we're discussing. That's the one you're repealing. That is the ordinance that was in effect until the legislature canceled it.
Well, I believe what he's also saying is we don't want to send the ordinance that we're repealing back to the state to ask them to approve it.
I'm sorry, I lost it.
I am hearing Jerry Wright is we don't want to send the exact same ordinance back to the state to see if they will grant that for us. I believe we was looking at a more simple ordinance before this one got passed. Is that correct?
Mike Smoka, if we repeal this ordinance, it doesn't automatically revert to the one in the court, or does it?
No. It reverts to the state department rules.
Right.
And we're probably good with that.
No.
What's your problem, John?
The problem with the state code is there are no violations.
Well, it's the state code, and you can't make it any stricter than it is, okay?
You are allowed the opportunity, the county is allowed the opportunity.
You can ask anything you want to, but I don't think you're going to get them to approve a more stringent ordinance, because that's what they just did in the legislature, was tell you that you can't make it more stringent than the state standards.
Okay.
Thank you.
I didn't want to talk for you. Did I say anything wrong?
No, you're fine.
Okay,
fine.
I thought that was the...
Tim.
Hey, Jerry.
Okay. As you know, I followed that issue for quite a few years as well. The way the state did it, they said anything, the county can't exceed the standards, and the county can't exceed what the state has. And if they have a proposal to exceed what the state has, it goes before a technical review panel up at the state. So it's not as simple, I think, as sending your ordinance there, because the question I had, I think I had 11 pages of comments regarding that ordinance when it was passed. And number one was, where are you identifying the requirements to exceed state codes, and then what's the justification for that standard? And that was never identified. And so the state comes back and says, well, if you've got a unique requirement, send it to us, and I imagine it had to be pretty specific, so they have a technical review panel look at that and see if it's good enough to pass, and that's something they may consider statewide. So it gets more specific. So I don't think it's as easy as sending the entire ordinance to the state if you can't identify exactly, unless the whole thing exceeds the state standard.
So do you know what was identified is the reason why the state kicked it back?
Yeah, any requirement you have at the county level that exceeds what the state standard is, it's void.
Okay.
So
can you send that to us?
Sure, I've got
documentation?
It. Sure.
Okay.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
I'm just following the advice of our leader.
You're fine.
Okay. Moving right along. We've got 40 minutes left.
Jen.
Good evening, Commissioners.
Good evening.
After one of the more recent storms, taken a serious look at our siren capabilities in the county. It's woefully inadequate. We have three sirens. The best, you want to say the best siren is located here in town. that the other sirens we have really aren't even positioned for our, where our large population densities really are. Those two, other two existing sirens, one and a half really, are old mechanical, you know, the half a spin. That's led to testing, you know, every week, which they have to do to keep those brushes clean. Otherwise, well, I'll keep asking you for money to go and repair those. So what I did is I reached out to our current siren vendor that also does our emergency service communications for the county. That's ERS. And I just asked them, in a perfect world, what does an adequate system look like for Brown County? Not really seeking a quote, but looking at a value. So, you know, I'm not requesting an appropriation or that. But I just wanted to, the commissioner was in our last EMAC meeting where the vendor, Mr. Mike Dyer, came in and briefed the system that he had built up for that. I, too, like the silence, the peace and quiet in the county, but unfortunately I'm the guy that disrupts that when necessary very loudly. So what we looked at is a system that would add 11 sirens to the county. These are going to be population density based. In some areas, we would even see overlap more sophisticated sirens. Two big things really impact sirens in this county, like other rural counties in Indiana. Those beautiful leaves that bring people here and those hills cause that sound to attenuate. The other problem is when we put sirens up high, there's nobody up high to hear them, right? It's sound, it's not like a radio wave. So we need to have sirens that fill those low areas and bowls. So 11 sirens, we would probably even be able to repurpose the old mechanical. But these sirens are electronic, meaning they don't spin. So a higher price with a more modern electronic signal, but we're saving the maintenance that we've already had to start doing on these sirens because they've just not been maintained. These sirens that that he presented also have a PA system. We can do what we call giant voice through it. The one that's by emergency services building by the school can do that.
One time?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. We would have Commissioner Wolpert do that.
He doesn't need any help. Talk to the whole county.
The a neat feature of this system is silent testing.
Oh.
Right? So because it's electronic, it has the ability to put it in a mode where it is testing to make sure that it works. This can be done at any time. As a matter of fact, it's usually set up to do it several times a day. And that report would go to dispatch and EMA. It's a scalable system where we design it, we put the poles out there. They come in stacks, and we may be able to learn that that decibel range is being pushed out sufficiently. We don't need that expensive of a tower. We can take a couple of those stacks off of it and put it on another siren where we need to push that decibel out. So that was a neat feature of that. One key component of this is an automatic tone setting system. Anytime that there's a National Weather Service warning message that's sent, specifically for a tornado, dispatchers are out of loop, which is a neat feature that they can still do it manually and trigger that. But that feature alone, looking at that now, is around $30,000 to $40,000. And I would make the suggestion that if upgrading our signal, our siren program is something that we would like to look forward to move forward with, that would be where we start. Everything we add to the system after that works with that component. That automated system for our dispatchers now works with the signal that we have over emergency services. The total cost for 11 sirens is around $400,000. Yeah. There are a couple different ways to pay for that, breaking it up incrementally. I'm speaking with Department of Homeland Security for mitigation money through grants. Generally, when we see that amount of money, there's some type of match that comes with that. We can lower that cost. I think, Commissioner, correct me if I'm wrong, it's around $20,000 to $25,000. We could seek polls from our power companies. They do that very frequently. And I know the counties around us that have had the tornadoes, that had damage, and was able to get the mitigation money to put new sirens up. A lot of those poles were donated by power companies. Yeah, Duke, JCRMC, I mean, they generally do it. They actually, Duke, when you approved moving the signal from Al's garage and having it refurbished, I think Duke donated the labor, trucking, and equipment for that. Another thing was brought up was, you know, having a committee or a group to look at that, to look for other people to invest in the system. For example, optimal spots for some of these sirens are our schools. So perhaps working with schools to see if they're able to help with that. And I have listed this as a project previously on the county's capital improvement plan at the beginning of the year. The amount, I believe, has changed since then. But again, through capital improvement, a couple sirens a year is what most counties do in the situation. So just wanted to let you know we were working on there.
So anyhow, is there any way that instead of chunking up $400,000, we couldn't get some of the World War II, and have Brad do with the Department of Correction, have a couple of those guys and spend them?
We would love volunteers to help do that as well, Commissioner. I think there is one like that actually at the Nashville Fire Department. So
appreciate that.
Yeah.
I used to listen to that go off. I think it was every Wednesday at
Yeah. Let me kind of chime in here.
Once a month.
Our new commissioner assistant was at that meeting, and we kind of talked about this a little bit. After the meeting, capital improvements is a thing. See if we can get Brown County Community Foundation interested. Possibly fundraisers. See if Dave Hall from District 62 can help. You know, contact other persons. See about grants. See if the Music Center might want to have something out there. Check with Duke for help. Check with SCI, RMC for help. You know, break it down cost per unit. There's possibly something that might go with the school. See if the school has any money to pay. See if the park possibly wants something out there. See if Yellowwood wants to come in, like where we have camps and stuff. See if they would be interested in getting in on it to try and get this going. See if the fire stations have any grants. We talked about the old stuff. Probably is not the way to try and go. It's just the one at Bean Blossom, it cost $5,200 to get it up there, and there was a lot of free labor and stuff involved in that. I think what our final thought on all that was to get started. I mean, you know, this is something that if the Stellar Grant comes back around in 26, you know, we could work all the way through 25 trying to figure this out and possibly have some shovel-ready projects ready to go. When ARA was in here the other day, they was talking and saying that a bunch of money, like I want to think, could be wrong, but like $130 million, they was going to let communities have them, but they weren't shovel ready. You got to have these projects planned to go. So if we start planning now, you know, now's the time to start planning. The thing about the automatic part that you're talking about, the tie them all together, for some reason, I had $39,000 come up as a number. It would be a good place to start. We talked about if there was any ARPA money possibly left. I believe they was going to audit that account and see if there was some money there. Once we know that number, then maybe we can see about trying to pledge that toward getting your first part of that. But you need to kind of do some kind of study on where the first two need to go, you know, right now. And, you know, we just got to try and find some money. You know, I don't know how much we can help we can get out of all them, but you don't get it if you don't ask.
Yeah, we're ready to go. We would put one, replace the one at Quarter Sweetwater first.
Okay.
And then we would move one to Helmsburg, Treblock area.
Well, there you go.
We're ready.
Okay. And how much would, you know, I don't, the number, I'm not real sure on that number for two units.
That'd be about 60,000.
each or for both?
For both, 30,000. Okay. On average, it's about 30,000 a unit.
Well, that don't sound way out of whack. If we just got the capital improvement loan, maybe there's 60,000 somewhere in there. We can go to the council and ask them for some money. So I say we kind of try to move forward. I mean, our citizens are our assets. You know, they're what makes the county work.
Well, so, I've had a little concern. I'm glad Gary worked on this, but I have a little concern that, you know, some people have the benefit of being sired, but most of the people in the county don't.
Right.
So,
he did, in that presentation, he did a very good study of the area, and he's recommending we have 11, and yeah, we have 2.
Right.
Well, it's complicated, because if you put the siren up here off the top of the hill, if I remember right, yeah, it blasts out and just goes over the heads, and they don't hear it, but they're smart enough that they know to bring it down on the ground, so it gets out on the ground. It's complicated to figure it out here in Brown County.
But and they're probably not going to hear it in Van Buren if you have it up there.
Well, they had one scheduled for down there somewhere.
I just, you know what I'm saying. I get you.
And you just got to get started.
I don't think you really explained what that 39,000 gets you to start, because that affects Brad's 911.
Yeah, that's the automated dispatching part of
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah.
It marries all of those 10 components together, not the poles, but the emergency services.
So we identified that as the number one step, first step, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
So let us audit the ARPA money, because if I understand right, it's supposed to be spent by the end of the year. Not that we don't have a lot of stuff we need to buy and pay for, but.
I can have an appropriation form ready to go. I'm getting pretty good at it.
There you go. Try and get that. We'll audit the ARPA fund, and we'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting. Not to say we'll have to figure it out by then.
Okay. Thank you for your time, Joel.
Okay. Appreciate your efforts in that area. It'd be nice if all of the citizens around county had been there, but not just the people of Sweetwater and Nashville, although I know why we did, but that's where the main population concentration is. But still, you know, tornado, and a person personally, they're all valuable because of the cuts to our citizens. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay, moving right along. I think we are ready for...
ATV, UTV.
Yes, okay.
Okay, I'm the one that asked that to be put on there. This has been hard so far to keep up with and control. I've had them on my road 3 days in at 9:30 at night, vibrating the house. You would have thought they were at the back door. My dogs were scared, up barking. Folks, I like hot rods, noise, cars, done it all my life. But this ordinance was rolled out too soon, and it's not being followed, okay? I got pictures on my phone. You're supposed to be 2 at a time, not 8, 7 or 8. On my phone, I was able, by the time I got it out, I caught 4 Sunday in a row, going down my road. Now, they weren't too bad. The ones on about the 20th was the ones that were bad. You could hear the ones go by, and they sound like they had regular exhaust on them, but the vibration, okay? You've got dirt tires or whatever, you got the gears, it creates vibration, okay? I'm not happy about it, and I was going to ask what it would take to get my road taken off. I live on Lick Creek Road, okay? And it's not just me. I have a letter in here from somebody that said on that same day that there was groups of the ATVs going down Lick Creek, turned right on 45 and continued. I've had multiple people complain about them. I had one a week or so ago say they'd seen one on 46 traveling at the same speed as the cars, pulling a piece of equipment. I had someone else say they'd seen them on 45. Someone else, it's in writing that they were seen out at the park. So it's not that you guys are all following the rules. I don't even know if you know the rules. Okay? But tonight, I don't know what the next step would be. But it's sure open to discussion. And I would like to have my road removed, Lake Creek.
I want mine removed.
Okay. And some other people have asked for their roads to be removed, but I told them, let me try and figure out what it's going to take for it to happen, or whether the other two commissioners will even consider it. I didn't want to put other people through it. I figured it'd be better for me to take the blunt of it and figure out what was going on. Okay? Because I have legitimate complaints. I've got pictures, I've got letter, and I got other people. I don't want to drag all the people in here. You know, I don't want to turn you people into enemies. So that's my part on it. Do you guys have any insight?
With their hand raised on the computer.
What I will say is this: if they're out there on 45 and 46, then they're illegal.
Correct.
So, I mean, that has nothing to do with our ordinance. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
they're doing illegal things on Lake Creek Road.
Well, that's okay, though. That's a county road.
Correct. They're only supposed to travel in two at a time. I got a picture of them. Four. I'm pretty sure.
Mike,
open yes.
Is the pictures?
You're breaking up, Mike. We lost you.
No, I didn't say anything.
And what I remember, the ordinance said that it was supposed to be two at a time. Should not travel more than two at a time.
May I speak?
Let's let Mike move.
We got the attorney. We're trying to find out the attorney first.
I'm sorry. I think there's some confusion. Are you asking a question right now, Ron? So I missed it.
Someone asked if Jerry was asking if it's only two vehicles at a time in a row in the ordinance. I thought it was only two at a time.
No, it's not in the ordinance like so.
Okay. Because that was my...
Hello?
Hello. How many we got trying to chime in?
Two.
Two?
Eric,
no.
Three. Eric.
Okay, hold on just a minute. One at a time and identify yourself, please.
Elvin Hickman. I live at 9145 Nineveh Road. We enjoy driving through Sweetwater, Fort Greene, all over Brown County. We have not hardly seen any other UTVs anywhere. We have maybe seen one. We only seen two at the Hickory Ridge breakfast other day. And we would like to be able to enjoy all of Brown County, not just his road. It was all the roads. And if you have any pictures, send them to the sheriff. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
I don't believe this would affect you because I don't think there's a road you can cross to get to mine from where you're at. You'd have to cross.
Eric Ryan, may I speak?
Okay.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I am by no means asking that roads be removed, nor that this be appealed. But I do ask that the police department does enforce the ordinance that you passed. I see lots of bragging taking place that there have been zero violations. There is nothing in the sheriff's log. No one has violated it. I live at the corner of Lick Creek and State Road 45. Every single day, they come down Lick Creek, they turn onto the highway, and they keep on going. Daily. Not once has anyone been out there to enforce it, and I am seeing them in large groups of five or more, all violating on as they wish. That is all that I ask, is that it be enforced as it is written. I do not appreciate that we continue to pass ordinances that we do not enforce. That is the issue I take.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone in the audience?
Oh, I will.
My name is Paul Just a couple of general comments about this. First is, I've been trying to monitor, obviously, the sheriff's logs and communicating with the community of, I don't know, there's 825 members in this group now, because we'll report, we'll put post out to engage the public that are part of this group, say, hey, don't be doing this, hey, there's five or six going down the road, don't do that, stay off of 45, don't go in front of Ron's house, he doesn't like the noise. We really try to police our own group as much as possible, and for anybody that's on this call or any of the public, join the group and post your complaints there so that we all see it, we can police ourselves and help ensure that we're following the rules and regulations. But as of now, I still haven't seen anything in the police reports that identify an issue. I would think that, Ron, if you're having an issue with sound and four or five at a time, you're calling the police and making a report so that there's some documentation versus just assumptions that there's a problem. And I'm not going to doubt that you've seen four vehicles at once. Not question that.
Seven or eight.
You're doing something as a disservice by not calling the sheriff, say there's four of them going down the road. Part of the job is to enforce the ordinance. Part of the job is to help maintain it. If somebody's breaking the law, then report it. I do believe in the state statute that it already limits two in a row. It doesn't have to be a county because it's a state statute. So we have been putting the word out there, you're not supposed to be more than two in a row. And we will continue to push that for you guys as commissioners and the law enforcement. But again, post those comments and those lawbreakers that you see in these groups that we can try to police a little bit better and help you guys be better stewards of the ordinance.
If somebody
the other thing I would say is at no time should we be trying to ban a road because you live on the road. You're a commissioner that doesn't give you special right to ban your road because you don't like the ordinance and you were against it from dead start. It's what's fair for the entire county, not what's fair for Ron Sanders.
And that's your opinion.
On a road, right. Doesn't make it okay for you to police out and say, well, I want my road blocked.
That's opinion. That's your opinion. As far as calling the sheriff every time I see him, whatever, sir.
Yes,
if you want to speak, come to the microphone.
Okay, go ahead.
And I don't want to waste our resources on chasing down every little thing that I see. The sheriff's office has very important business to take, and if we just use the sheriff department to run out and chase down all the ATVs and stuff, they'll probably be gone by the time they get there anyway. I'm not going to wear the sheriff department out on this. I'm going to ask that my road be taken out. And if you're thinking I'm looking for special, I'll recuse myself from the vote when it comes to it. I'll leave it up to the other two commissioners, whether they will or will not take my road off. Okay.
Let me clarify something, please, with our legal. The intent of that portion of the ordinance to be able to ban certain roads, that has to be based on some kind of a real safety concern, doesn't it? Or some extenuating circumstances. We don't ban any roads just because somebody doesn't like the noise. We can't stop motorcycles from running up and down your road with no mufflers on them whatsoever. And they ride in groups two abreast and as many as 30 or 40 of them in a line. I don't understand how these ATVs are such a big problem in comparison to that. But back to Mike, what's your understanding about that clause?
So we can put on any road, should you choose, but I think your point is valid that as a policy standpoint, we want to have valid reasoning for putting a road on this exemption list and make that policy uniform for every single road that's put on the exemption list.
Okay.
But to reiterate, we could put any road on this exemption list that the commissioners choose to vote on.
Ma'am, do you dare come up to the microphone and speak about your road?
Can I speak?
Give this lady a chance. She's heading to the microphone.
Or Doug.
My name is Mary Blake. I spoke at the other meeting opposed to them for safety reasons. I just want to bring anyone up to date as to what is going on. The very week that this was passed, I called the sheriff's office because there was a gentleman on what I call a straddle four-wheeler like the size of a lawnmower, with a less than four-year-old child in front of him. The dispatch voice said to me before I could finish, "Mrs. Blake, I'm sorry, the boy, it was passed and they are allowed on the road." Then I was able to inform her there was a child on that. She said she would inform the officers. I didn't see that one again.
How'd you know it's an age?
A child sitting in front of an adult on a lawnmower, imagine, not to hear.
Just, you're speaking to the commissioner.
Sorry, yesterday.
Conversation between people out here.
I believe the child should have probably had a helmet on.
It didn't. It shouldn't have been in front of him. How was the child going to stay on? Yesterday, my road from Weber Hill to my curb at my driveway is about 1,500 feet straight away. There was a young-looking person, possibly as old as 16, on a trail bike with a helmet, doing a wheelie. We've also had a nice, big, bright, painted, what my son called a razor, side by side. How do we know these are legal? You can't run out and see if there's a license plate. What kind of control is the county, has the sheriff got a list from the license branch with all of these so that they'll know when I call, "Oh, well, Mrs. Blake, that one's legal"?
Well, we don't stop vehicles to see whether they're legal or not, unless they're doing something illegal. Sheriff doesn't have time for that.
Right, that's what
and
I'm saying.
We don't stop motorcycles to see if they have a proper registration on it.
No, but we know those are.
We cannot legally pull somebody over and check credentials without a cause. Is that not correct, Sheriff? You have to have probable cause to stop someone.
Correct. Right.
Yeah, okay. So it's no different for the ORBs than it is for motorcycles and cars and trucks and every other vehicle that's right on the road.
Can I speak?
Yes, go ahead, sir. Identify yourself.
Melvin Hickman, 9145 Nineveh Road. We all, like I said earlier, we went to the breakfast at Hickory Ridge Community Center, and they were surprised to have that much people, but it's a nice ride to go through Brown County. That's why we all live down here. Only time we got slowed down was through a bicycle. Somebody going slow where we couldn't pass them around. And if most sheriff departments have a UTV or a, most people don't have a quad anymore or a bicycle. Not a bicycle, a motorcycle. It's a UTV to get to where you need to go, get the equipment to where you need to go. And if, I think if some of the people that was against the ORB would just take a ride on some of them, they would understand the universal, I don't know.
We're running out of time, sir.
Okay. But that's all I want to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments. We only have 11 minutes to finish this commissioner's meeting. We have some important things to do. We're not going to debate this ordinance. It's already been passed. We're not debating the ordinance and its appropriateness. That's already been decided. If there are violations, I suspect that the sheriff would know about that. And if people don't call about it, then it must not be very important. Have you been overwhelmed with calls about ORBs, Sheriff?
We've had some calls, but not overwhelmed.
Sure. Okay. I mean, you get calls about motorcycles and people doing wheelies on them, I'm sure, and riding crazy and everything else. A certain part of the population will always do what they want to do, regardless of the law. So.
Would you two care to take a vote on that?
I'd like to say
I refuse my vote.
Well, if Blake, I mean, you can make an entertaining motion.
We're not.
Mr. Wager's
there's no reason to ban any road in the county as it stands right now. now, other than that you complain about the noise, someone else complains about the noise. That's not valid reason to...
If you don't let Mr. Wagers talk, then I will go blind because it's right on the street.
Kyle Wagers, Creamer Road. And I know electric doesn't mean nothing to me. I mean, not to say that I can't load my stuff up and run across the highway and unload it and ride. The only issue I have with trying to ban a road, I guess, would be where would it stop? So if we allow Lick Creek to be banned, my neighbor gets pissed off at me, says, yeah, he rides his buggy up and down the road. Let's take that to commissioners. Let's ban our road so he won't be able to ride it. So I think that would be a really, really gray area on how you would go about doing that.
It's a slippery slope.
Well, it really is, because I pay taxes on every road in Brown County. Exactly. You know, so I don't know how you could ban a public road, to be honest.
It's in the ordinance.
for fair reason, I understand, safety issues, whatever. I promise you there's crowd trucks run up and down Lick Creek Road a lot faster than the side-by-sides. Probably 20 of them, 30 of them at a time doing wheelies together, side-by-sides. I mean, I just don't see the ORVs being the big issue here.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'll be totally honest with you. The ones that I seen Sunday, seven or eight of them in a row, okay, they really didn't pose that much of a problem, but I thought there was a two in a row issue. The ones that rode 3 days after the ordinance at 9:30 at night that was rattling my house, and you could tell some of them had modified exhaust and stuff on them, and then all the complaints I get from everybody else, this is not being policed. It's just, it's out there. You don't even know if they're registered. And if I read it right, whether they need to be registered with the BMB, whether you're planning on putting them on the road or not. Even if you run them on private property, they're supposed to be registered.
This is an enforcement issue, and the commissioners have no power to enforce anything.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it because of the...
It's up to law enforcement to enforce the laws. And they basically respond to accidents and complaints, and it doesn't appear that there's been any one of them so far. So.
Yeah, but we only ride at night.
Listen, I'm sorry, appreciate your comments. Yeah. We have about 8 minutes left to finish this meeting. We still have things on the agenda that's not about the ORVs. Human resources, Commissioner Assistant Teresa Bell.
Okay, I'm going to make this quick. Maintenance has gotten two quotes to proceed with some things at the Sheriff's Office. They have a quote for $5,234 for royalty to do the gutters and the skylight out of the Sheriff's Department. They'd like to proceed with that.
Okay.
And at the Sheriff's Department, the ADA doors, we have a quote for $5,784. They would like to proceed with that too.
Okay.
But it's over there, $5,000.
Okay. So they need approval?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They need our approval?
Yes, they need your approval, please.
Okay. I entertain a motion.
Second. I will make the motion if you don't want to. Do you not like this?
I'm fine with it.
The ADA stuff?
I'm fine with it.
Okay. So I will make the motion.
And I'll say,
okay.
Thank you very much. Okay, you go.
Any quick discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
That's the first letter. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
And Eric has presented us with a written report, and I really appreciate that.
Which is a good thing I did since I got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything other than what is on that report. We have hired three people. One started today. We got one starting Monday, and then one starting the following week.
You're getting close to full staff.
Almost full.
Okay.
So we worked on a job description last week for the mechanic helper, and once we get that done, we'll be able to hire that. And that being said, more people, more equipment being used, and we're going to have more funds going out, unfortunately, but we'll work through that.
Very good.
And I will have to say real quick that, I still get a lot of compliments on what you're doing. So, keep up the good work.
Yeah, appreciate it. Just a quick note, we are working on community crossing stuff for next year already now, because there's things that have to be submitted December. So I'm working with a company called Violetics. They do software. So all of our PASER ratings that haven't been updated since 2022, we'll be able to update them ourselves and have an accurate rating on those. Obviously, there's a cost with that, but it saves us money because it also does some tasks. It does sign inventory, some other inventory. So we'll be doing some onboarding, I believe, September 4th. You guys are more than welcome to come out and check it out. It's cameras that go on the front of a couple trucks. It's great stuff. I was really impressed. Our bridge consultants right now are actually trying to work with them to get in with them as well, because that's how much it's gonna help out.
Good. Appreciate you. Good job. We have Mr. Blake. You have about 2 minutes.
Okay. So the Shriners, and we've done this before, they would like to have a couple of weekends in October to park cars up here. And, you know, the Shriners take care of the kids. So, I mean, we've done it before, and I'd just like to do that again, if it's good with you guys. And also, this Veterans Honor Guard, I was asked by Andy that it's not the Honor Guard, it's the veterans in general. And what we need to do is, there's a building out here that has been empty, and that what they're doing is they want to ask us to have the tombstones and stuff put in there. And since the health department's not using it, I would think that would be an okay thing as far as I'm concerned, but I'm going to leave it up.
Entertain a motion, Jerry?
Yep.
I'm making a motion that we go ahead and let Shriners use the parking lot, and we see if this building will work for the Veterans Honor Guard, and that's my motion.
Okay, and I'll second that.
First and second, any discussion? All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The one thing, another thing, I don't even talk about contract right now, but with Mike Moga,
yeah.
I would like to follow up on you about the extension for Indian Hill, and possibly ask for a 5-year if you think that's feasible, so we can try and figure that out. We don't want it to expire. Have you made any headway, or have you sent anything to the MDOT people yet?
Yes, I've spoken with NDOT, and I know Kevin Allen, I believe, is in the room, can give you more input on the our actual efforts to get this crossing installed. But right now, the option is to extend it by only 1 year, according to NDOT. They said we can submit an application to request such an extension, which I have drafted. I'm just waiting on some administrative clarifications on their end. But maybe, Kevin, if you're still there, you can maybe give a little bit of input on where we're at in terms of getting the funding.
Okay.
Oh, and then one last thing. The extension is for the requirement of installing certain equipment that we have to do by September 29th, 2024.
Okay.
Didn't know I was going to get called out like that, so give me 1 second.
You got 1 minute.
Okay. Well, long and short of it is, I've got a few copies of these I'll give to you guys. There is a USDA, U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Railroad Administration. They call it Railroad Crossing Elimination. Bad name for what they're wanting to do. It's a safety improvement program. They have, the federal government's allocated $1.15 billion starting back in fiscal year 2022. This is the last round, next to last round for applying. There's a deadline on September 23rd. We've been working to get a grant application ready. There's a lot of engineering questions with this. And, you know, I stuck my nose in this a while back with Scott Redd and a couple others. So it's kind of fallen on me and our in-house grant writer to get a lot of stuff boilerplated out. I'll be happy to give you this summary and this checklist to show you where we're going with this. And I helped Mike write a paragraph in that letter outlining the reason we're requesting the extension. And I'll read my suggestion that was basically, Mike, you can jump in here if you want. But I will read the paragraph that I, or the statement that
you,
I...
No need, Kevin, to actually read it straight out. Basically, what you just said is summarizing what the request is, essentially.
Okay.
Okay.
But that's all we got.
Time.
I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor, raise your right hand.
Aye.
Thank you all for coming tonight. Appreciate your participation.
get a